Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Two Drink Minimum, Saudi Arabia's favorite podcast, 3 years running. The man in front of me, the Sharia law of Quebec comedy, legendary, Mike Ward.
I am Mike Ward. You are Pantelis. Our friend drinking tonight.
You fucking fiend.
Is Poseidon.
That's haram, bro.
Yeah.
Yes. I like breaking all kinds of laws.
Yeah. Most of them sexual.
And we have a special guest tonight.
Lebanese dynamite, Emile Khoury himself joining us. For those of you who don't know Emile, if you speak French, he's got a hit podcast called Sans Commentaire. If you've ever seen me on podcast, tour, Emile's always with me.
Always.
Fucking Emile. He's going to start doing it in English with me too because he's bilingual.
Let's fucking. I love Lebanese dynamite. He baptized me Lebanese dynamite and I'm sticking to it.
How good is that? Lebanese dynamite
sounds good.
Yeah. And? Plausible.
It's not very Lebanese to be a
terrorist.
There aren't any.
Has there ever been a Lebanese terrorist?
There's been every terrorist. There's been Greek terrorists too, but they're very. They're like a bunch of Greeks.
That's like saying, oh, that it's a Spanish terrorist. They're Greek guys that speak Arabic.
Lebanese people are very business driven, and if you're dead, you can't conduct business. So it's not very practical.
Yeah. It's just a dead guy that found TNT, and he's got some anger issues.
Yeah,
he just fucking hates.
But Lebanese dynamite is a badass. Fucking comedian's nickname.
Because a Lebanese terrorist, I'm like, okay, so was, and when he blew up these people, was his wife in the... Yeah, she was one of the victims accidentally.
Yeah.
He wanted to kill all those other people. Okay, that's how it happened.
And we forgot to mention that our man Poseidon is on a fresh start right now. He's trying not to make any mistakes.
Okay, yeah.
He's trying to lose some weight. He's trying to better himself. Is that correct?
What are the mistakes that he's trying not to do?
Fuck up the podcast? Fuck up Mike's orders
Mike's
or requests?
Mike's everything.
Mike's everything. Mike's life. Yeah. And
so he ruined your life.
Fuck. The other night, I had ED, and I was like, goddamn Poseidon. He fucked up my dick, too.
Where's your finger?
Go up. So, no, we forgot to mention, but yeah, Poseidon is on a weight loss journey.
Yeah.
Wow.
We offered him 5 months ago. He was at 285, and we told him, if you lose 50 pounds by New Year, we'll give you $5,000.
Okay.
$5,000
is a very good amount.
50 pounds is a lot of weight, but 50 pounds in like 7-8 months is good.
Is it doable? I've never been on a weight loss.
I lost.
For you, it wouldn't be. If you don't have 50 pounds, you would die at pound 30.
But Poseidon heard that, and being the fucking rebel that he is, he put on 10 pounds.
Yeah, no.
Exactly.
But he said to, because we were like, yeah, okay, so how much you weigh? And he was like 285. So we were like, you got to be down at 235 by New Year. And he was like, I'm going to go down 230. Yeah. And we're like, no, 235 is good. 230.
When's the last time you were 235?
Never.
you were born 300 pounds.
Yeah. I know that he could have done it if he tried, because I was just going to let him cheat, do everything I did to lose it.
But wait, he still has 2 months. It's impossible?
He keeps putting on weight, drinking beer, eating bread.
What weight are you now?
280.
280. So 5 pounds in 5 months. They always say... The toughest weight to lose is the first 5, and then the last 45 just melts. You melt away.
It's the breeze.
If you want to go a hardcore Pantelis diet, I don't know if
I'm not going to attain the.
You could, though, there's enough time if you did no carbs, like zero.
Yeah, do what I did. Go zero carbs till January 1st.
All you eat is meat.
Yeah.
And that's
greens,
it.
Meat, greens.
I wouldn't even do cheese, because cheese has like 1 or 2 carbs.
Yeah,
like,
don't even cheese just for 2 months. Yeah.
Just meat.
Meat and greens.
Yeah, and like not a lot of greens.
Yeah, do everything I did. Meats, greens, no alcohol,
a lot
of gay sex.
You're not telling him to go vegan.
Because vegan, it's
no vegan is not fattening. If you go on a whole foods plant based no oil diet, you're gonna lose 200 pounds.
If you want to lose quick, the only way you lose quick is no carbs. Like no carbs, you can go from 300 to 200 in 3 months.
That's what I did.
Whereas vegan, like, and I'm a chubby vegan because I like food that tastes like food. But if you do like I'm gonna do like a plant based very natural diet, you will lose weight, but it'll take you like a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then it will be stable weight that you lost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then when you lose the weight, you'll have loss of weight. Whereas if you lose like 80 pounds in a month, chances are you'll be like fucking 700 pounds in 3 years.
But for real, it's a good technique because that's what I used is I cut off the carbs and the sugar.
Okay.
And started melting off.
Yeah, because...
What's your arch nemesis with food?
Bread.
No, his real arch nemesis with food is himself.
Yeah. bread.
It was so funny, though, because when the diet first started, he was like, no, I'm taking this seriously. I'm gonna eat just omelets and blah, blah, blah. And he was working on the tour, so we'd show up, and in the green room, there'd always be the craft. So there'd be like fucking chips and chocolate. And then...
They'd go missing.
Like, he doesn't eat anything. I don't eat much. And Preach was working out. So we'd show up and there'd be a mountain of food. And then we'd come back like after the show and it was a hill of food.
It went from a mountain. Like one
place best we went to.
The best is his reaction when we're on to him and you would ask that question is, I shouldn't say it because now he's going to stop doing it, but I love his shifty eyes because you could tell that he's thinking of an excuse because Michael comes in like, hey, well, what happened to all the chocolate? And then if I look at him right away and this is what I see like a cartoon like this.
Yeah, like someone caught him. Like,
no, it's the funniest fucking thing. Just like, what do? Do I jump out the window?
One of the shows we were doing, I was bitching because I was like, and I wasn't going to eat it anyway, but we're backstage and I'm like, who the fuck puts one little bag of chocolate covered almonds?
Yeah.
One bag, these motherfuckers.
They should have at least five, six. There's so many of us.
This is a nice theater. They know we're coming in. We're a bunch of these motherfuckers. What the fuck, these cheap asses.
While he's saying this, picture this.
With chocolate.
And yeah, there's chocolate stains.
Like, and then he tells me, he's like, I ate them all. I got here at 3.
Do you shame eat? Like, let's say you were shoving these chocolate-covered almonds in your mouth. Were you like, oh, fuck, I hope Mike doesn't see that I've eaten half of the packs that are available?
No, he doesn't think. It's impulse.
No, yeah, it's 100% impulse.
But during the impulse, there must be some sort of, like, let's say if I'm jacking off to something I shouldn't be jacking off to. There's a certain...
What?
Yeah, let's not skip over that for a second.
like a street crime. Black-on-black crime is really on the rise.
There's always a split second of clarity throughout the act, as in... Is there any shameful eating? Like, you're covered with food, you stare at yourself in the mirror.
Yes, actually.
If there was,
but then I feel bad.
Bulimic. Did you ever think vomiting?
No, not really. But then here's the thing. I there is that split second of shame, but then I become sad. And because I become sad,
you
I continue eating.
Okay. He's like, I'm hard and I'm fucking fat. I don't know what to do.
Hard and fat. That's my motto.
Yo, speaking of hard and fat, compared to us who are lunatics, Emil is kind of normal. He's like a real... He's not crazy. He knows what he's doing. When you're with me, when we're on the tour and stuff, do you ever look and you're like, what am I doing? Do you ever stare at me and go, why am I with this guy? Like, does that ever happen to you?
I have to say something. It's not why am I with this guy. We meet creatures. Like, they're the staples of Pantelis comedy shows are, it's just, I've never seen crowds that diverse.
Okay, let's at least give me a compliment. Diverse. I have the most diverse crowd.
Not racially diverse, mentally insane diverse, as in you see
people. Almost feel,
still an honor. You almost feel that his crowd doesn't go to the show. They crawl out of the
darkness.
I've never seen
show.
You see people they that I it. Would have never seen in any other comedy shows.
Mixed with
beautiful.
Other people. You see a businessman.
Yeah.
And what is clearly a homeless person.
who comes up to Pantelis and is like, I bought these tickets 6 months ago. I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I'm like, you don't even own a device to be able to stream the podcast on any platforms.
Yeah,
and
this is the most diverse. I have children. There are sometimes young people in the crowd like, what the fuck is going on here?
You know why I think that is? It's because this studio isn't soundproof. So all the homeless people, they hear all his fucking things.
But he always catches it. He's like, this is so weird, bro. Are they here, like, by accident?
Plus, like, since you do shows with Rashid,
yeah,
and Rashid's crowd is fucking, like, mainstream as fuck.
It's
like,
the mainstreamest crowd you
get. It's the most mainstream crowd ever.
And then he comes and slums it with me.
You're degenerate.
That's what I love about this. So let's say during your shows, there's one thing I did realize about both your interactions.
Yeah.
Other than you getting mad at him every split second, first of all, I don't know if he told you. He asks him to get a bottle of water. He goes to the bar at the show, during the show.
I forgot about this.
So he's grabbing the bottle and he's walking towards me, and the stage is right here. Poseidon is walking between the bar, and there's maybe 3 meters for him to pass. So there's no problem. He smacks one of the bar chairs in the middle of his set, and it just falls over, resonates throughout the whole show. Pantelis doesn't even bat an eye. And he stops for a split second, stops talking mid-set, just turns around, and the crowd does not understand what's going on, and you just see Poseidon not turning around, so he's back against Pantelis, just waiting for Pantelis to stop staring at him.
This is during my hour.
Why did you smack a bar stool?
Because he was wearing army boots. I don't know which, by accident.
He walks around
How
sometimes.
How do you smack something by accident?
He walks around sometimes like a giant octopus with shoes on. But while I'm on stage, and this is during my hour, I just stopped talking. Yeah. I just fucking death stare. I mean, everyone's like, what's going on?
Because Pantelis didn't turn around. He's like, it better not be him. Yeah. And he's like, there's no reason why it wouldn't be him. Yeah. And then as he turns around,
it's him.
It's always him.
It's always him.
Have you ever, did Poseidon or Pantelis ever drive and you're sitting in the back seat?
Once from New York.
Yeah.
This is one of the most beautiful sightings I've ever experienced in my whole life. They see things. It's like there could be a car 6 kilometers away, and Poseidon would be like, did this guy break to hit me? And Poseidon's like, I think he did. Yeah. And they start pumping each other up, and I'm just sitting in the back. I'm like, we're by ourselves. There's nobody around us. And they see things from the corner of their eyes as if they're two old PTSD soldiers that came back from Vietnam, and they're just, everybody's against them. There's one thing with Pantelis, if he was a bit more famous, he'd be canceled out just because he, at the level, let's say first gig he got in Quebec City, first ever taping, he got in, and I've heard about 16 stories of Pantelis losing his shit. So I'm like, I'm glad it's taking a bit more time for Pantelis to become uber famous in Quebec, because I feel like we wouldn't have anything going on anymore.
You think, yeah, you're like, fuck you. Fuck you. Why does this guy look weird?
This guy staring at me, Poseidon's like, hey, he's staring at you. Okay, let's fucking get up. Okay, nobody's staring at you. He's probably just drunk.
Yeah. He's like, you do realize we can't just beat up everybody, right? Like,
we're like gorillas, bro. Yeah.
You have like shows. People know who you are. You can't hit people with a bar stool. They can't or won't. So it is weird for you.
It's not weird, no.
But you love it.
No, it's fucking sick. You have insane crowds. The shows in Laval were good. Most of them were good.
Your crowds here, they're
fucking animals. And that's when the ecosystem... People know me from Pantelis' podcast and vice versa. When he opened for me, people were like, oh, fuck, I saw him on Sans Commentaire. So it's crazy to see what you started is a small ecosystem of people just going on each other's podcast and lifting. I was in Gatineau. A guy asked me, the guy that drove from Rive-Sud to Gatineau.
Yeah,
but,
So
a guy that listens to the podcast.
Jesse Jelena, shout out.
Jesse Jelena.
Yes.
Lives in La Rive-Sud. Drove to Gatineau to see his hour. That's after seeing him at the Bordel. That's
my
after
hour?
Seeing him in Laval.
And that's after coming to Just for Laughs to see my hour.
Just for Laughs to see his hour. So I'm like, okay, he has super fans. And that's what's crazy about that is we finish these shows and at the end he's taking pictures, he's talking to people. And people come up to me, it's like, oh, j'adore quand t'es sur le podcast. So we create the sort of ecosystem that supports each other. So fuck no, man, it's not weird. It's just hilarious to sit back and watch you guys interact.
I love having people that, I love seeing people that love a comic enough to drive.
It's fucking
insane.
Those are
the best fans.
I wouldn't even drive for Jesus.
Him, by the way, he's seen it 5 times. He's coming to see my hour again now.
Yeah, and he's
you wouldn't tickets. Drive for Jesus?
I would think about it. I would be like, but then I'm like, oh, Ticketmaster fees, whatever. Yeah. It's in New York.
Imagine
it's not
the fuck. Like, oh, fuck, we didn't talk about that, but I'm going to go see the UFC in Orlando.
Okay.
The fucking Ticketmaster fees. $600 US.
God in
the
fees.
Ticketmaster fees?
$300 per ticket.
How much is the ticket?
A lot.
Too much.
But it was like 2,000 a ticket.
So fuck, you have around 35%, 40%.
No, less than that. It was like 1,500. Yeah, 1,500. I think with the fees, it came up to like 4,000.
That's not even resellers. That's not even scalpers. No. Straight up Ticketmaster.
By the way, there's no extra work that comes in if they're processing a ticket. If a ticket costs $10 or $1,000, it's the same amount of work to process.
A couple of years ago, I was like, when we just bought the Bordel, our fees here, we charge, I think it's $1.50 or $1.25 in service fees. And the reason why we charge that is because that's what it costs us. And I had a guy, I was doing a show at the St. Denis Theater, and the service fees there were like $10. So I was like, I do a little thing on YouTube, and I'm like, I'm doing a show, and I'm like, come, tickets are only $30 plus the fucking pieces of shit that charge $10, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, look, they did all the work, though. Like, all I did was write an hour and fucking practice it and get it tight. But these fucking guys, they got a computer, and I just do kind of jokes about the guy. And then the guy comes here, like, to have a drink, and he goes, hey, Sarakun, like, nah, don't worry, I'm not mad. And I'm like, why would you be mad? I said that you were a fucking croissant because I was doing the St. Denis Theater. It's a 2,000-seater.
Yeah.
So he was making $200,000 that night.
Oh.
And I was fucking, like, I wasn't producing the show. So
he's bucketing
my producers, like, he's making the most money with the service fee. The service fee's making the most. Then the theater rental is making a lot.
The artist is less.
Then my producer. So everyone's making money, and I'm selling 2,000 tickets.
Goddamn.
And I'm making like maybe $8,000, which is good. $8,000 for a night.
Yeah, but not for a sold out. Not for a sold at St. Denis. Yeah.
And if you're like, and someone's making $200,000,
and he's not doing anything.
Yeah. So he goes like, "Sangakun." I'm like, no, but I was like, hey, just for real though. Like, in the old days, I get service fees when you had to have like fucking people answering the phone. But now there's no one answering the phone. There might be one person, and he goes, no, but it's like. It's big. And I'm like, yeah, it's big, but who cares? It's the program, whether you have fucking 11 people buying tickets or 5,000, it's the same program.
Same thing.
And I'm like, we charge 150 and you guys charge 10. He goes, yeah, but you're a small place. And I was like, exactly. We should charge more.
Yeah.
Like fucking Walmart has cheaper prices
because they're bigger
than some little fucking mom and cop
because they sell bulk,
mom and cop
shop. Mom and cop shop.
You know these mom and cop
mom shops. And cock shops.
Black people mom and cop shops are the fucking weirdest. But yeah, and it was just bizarre. Like we talked for like 20 minutes, and he never got that he was a dick.
It's not justified for him. It's justified. Yeah. It costs him. He's making 20 G's just in service fees.
And the thing that people don't realize, and a lot of people go, no, but it's not him. It's Ticketmaster. But the way Ticketmaster works, they give half of it to the theater.
Venue, yeah.
So, and then the theater, that's why they have like each theater has a monopoly. So if I could rent the St. Denis Theater and go, look, I don't like Ticketmaster. I want to get fucking brown paper tickets, or I want to get
Eventbrite
or Admission or whatever. They're like, no, we have a deal with them, so you got to be with them.
Yeah. I think Louis was not able to do the Madison Square Garden because there was something with Live Nation or whatever.
Really?
And then the guy at the Madison Square Garden ended up making a deal with him for his upcoming show.
The tour he did before the whole jerking off thing came out, he was the biggest comic by far.
Yeah.
And he was doing like weird, like Masonic halls. Like he was doing, like he wasn't doing the actual room.
No, he was booking his own spots. Well, he was good at business, but we think about the same thing because unless I'm here where it's all done through the Bordel, but when I go out, I use Eventbrite and I always think about the ticket fees and I always try to see, you know, the price. Okay, let's put it this, and people don't know, but then I'll pay after for the fees instead of them paying it. I always think about shit like that because the crowd, what you said, is diverse. I don't know who's coming, so I don't want it to be. Because sometimes it goes crazy because of the ticket fees. You're like, oh, it'll be a $25 ticket, and then somebody's at $32. Well, I don't want it to be $32.
Yeah.
I always tell people, like, the real price I'm charging because they hide it. Like, the service fees a couple of years ago, the companies, like, airplane companies, the airlines were selling tickets. They're like, go to Fort Lauderdale for only $7. And then you were like, oh, that's amazing. And they were like, plus $7,000.
Yeah. Yeah, and processing fees.
So
yeah.
Then the government was like, okay, processing and service fees have to be included in the final price.
Okay.
So the Air Canada and fucking JetBlue can't be cunts. But that fucked us. Because in the old days, if it was, hey, come see Mike Ward, it's $30 plus $3 service fees, then people knew exactly what they were paying and who they were paying. But then when they put it all together, now that's when fucking like Ticketmaster went way up.
So then the people don't know, is it the artist fucking me over?
They'll say like $50 a ticket for Mike Ward, and Mike's like, I'm charging $25. Yeah. Like it's
exactly.
Yeah, so that's why the beginning of every tour, I always tell people, like even this tour, I think the max we charge is 30 or 35. The tickets are always like 42 or 48.
For the biggest name in Quebec comedy, at 30, like think about that.
Do you get scalpers?
I do, yeah.
Do you know what's the right maximum? I would see him in front of Club Soda. Tickets.
Bro, you need tickets, bro. You need tickets.
The fake mustache.
I never look at
how much
the
can
price.
You got
they're,
on you, bro?
They're never that.
I was curious what's the highest price someone paid for tickets to your show.
I saw, like, for the Bell Center, I saw tickets on eBay for over 1,000.
Oh, wow.
But that was historic.
But it was, like, really good tickets. Okay. I actually bought a pair of tickets on eBay. Because I want to give to someone, I wanted good tickets. I paid $1,200
for your own tickets.
For my own tickets.
You're a special human being.
Some fucking piece of garbage.
Did you end up making money on that show?
I did. Yeah. Okay. I made like serious money. Yeah.
Like good. Okay.
Yeah. Like
it's the Bell Center.
Everyone was telling me, because everyone that had told me about the Bell Center were all Quebec comics, but they did the Bell Center in the 90s or the 2000s.
Or like a 10,000 seats sort of configuration.
Yeah, but even like, yeah, so they were like, hey, you don't make money. And I was like, how many tickets did you sell? I was sold out. Yeah, but how many? 7,000. Okay. And yeah, but what's expensive is you got to rent the room. You got to get this. You got to get this. Plus, it cost you like $400,000 or $500,000 in advertising.
Yeah.
And I was like, my advertising was just me on the podcast. So no free advertising. No, nothing. Like I made $170,000.
God,
Jesus fucking Christ!
Yeah,
yes,
which is insane. And I wasn't
and
even.
And you weren't
even
charging that much.
He got
them to bring down their ticket. The fees lower than it's ever been.
They signed you a check. You were an artist.
I was. My deal was like I was.
That's how much it cost to book me at the Bell Center.
No, I wasn't producing it. I was, but I got like a co-production type deal. So I had 18,000 to pay everyone. And okay. I was like, look, I'll just pay everyone. And then if you sell this amount of tickets, then we split. And I think like my break even was something like, I don't know, let's say 8,000 or 7,000
tickets. Okay.
Yeah,
got sold in the first 50 seconds.
And plus, like my tickets, like they were like, let's charge $45 everywhere. But I was like, no, in the cheap seats, I want them at $10 a ticket.
And
like,
they thought he was
some
crazy.
Some of them were super cheap, but we ended up selling everything. So and where I made the money, most of the money was my merch. They didn't touch the merch. So I got all the merch.
So Centre Bell doesn't take a percentage off.
Centre Bell took 30%, but just for laughs, didn't take anything.
Okay.
So I got all of that. And then I got a bonus of like $100,000 from
signing
the split.
Bonus,
so I got the 18 plus like 102, so it was like 120
plus the merch.
Plus the merch, which was 86,000, but minus their cut was like 50 some thousand.
So, you gross
so
like
it was like it was like 170 ish. That's from a night that I was sure I was just going to break even.
If not lose.
Yeah, if
this
not
is
lose.
What you fucking get when you take your balls into your own fucking hands. And say, hey, I fucking
love
this.
It's fucking insane. Like,
it's fucking insane.
I made so much fucking money.
Podcasting
in one night.
In the
doing
arena.
Doing a fucking podcast with shitty sound.
But because of him now, if ever someone else wants to do it or he wants to do it at the Bell Center, they know how to do it properly.
And one of the reasons, too, why I made so much money is to rent all of the equipment that I would have had to pay because I was the, like they paid me to, the 18,000 was to cover everyone on the show. So the way we paid people, it came out to about 18,000. So I wasn't making money. But then I had to split the cost for renting lights and renting a bunch of extra stuff. And but since Matt Duff was doing his Netflix special, like since
they just kept him, everything.
No, they like so they charged Netflix for everything. So Netflix ended up paying for all the lights.
That's fucking amazing. All of the,
so they that saved me like something like 40 or 50,000.
That's
so I would have made like 50,000 less.
Okay,
I would have still made good money.
It's like getting married after your brother is just like leave everything here, please.
I got this.
I'm using the same venue.
Yeah,
that's fucking sick. Yeah. 40-50 G's.
Yeah.
So what? When you saw, is it one big check?
No, that's the thing that sucks because there was a fuck up with my finances with Suzy Kut. The person that was running the advertising stopped running it like about a year ago.
Okay.
And so the new person didn't know that my manager Michel takes 20% of everything. So like Michel today was like, "Yeah, you haven't paid me for Suzy Kut in like a year."
Baby.
And I was like, "Oh god damn it. Oh fucking Christ." And then I see the number and I'm like, "Oh fuck, I owe him so much fucking money. I owe him so much. What am I going to do?
I owe him a full Bell Center. This
and,
is what I owe."
And there's he owes me now $5,000.
Okay,
so, well, but I wanted to get a check. I wanted to have like I've never gotten a check for $170,000.
What's the biggest check you've ever gotten?
Biggest check is $120,000.
That was for
crazy.
A gala, I assume, for Juste Pour Rire.
No, it was for just my tour. Like I get paid every.
Okay, so every it was one check for multiple.
So
shows.
Whenever there's more than that's what I hate about the. The tour, and this is such a fucking little stupid millionaire bitch. But I like
need to go to the bank multiple times.
No, but yeah. I like when you do a show and they go, and yeah, so you go, I made 4,000 or I made 200. But now they're just like, I don't know how much I make. And every once in a while, they give me a check for 100,000.
And then you're like, what the fuck is this 17,000?
And then I look, yeah, the 17, or the so it's 115 something because of the taxes.
Okay, 115. Yeah. That's pretty fucking insane. Yeah. 115. Bro, that's a big payday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a, I have a calendar. I have a notes app. On the notes app on my phone, I have a note where I put all my shows and the amount I'm making after each show, just so I can track.
Oh, I should do that.
However much I'm doing and how
the
I see this as a business. To be honest, I see how the business is growing and we're making from the podcast. It is a business. We're businessmen, so I would find it fucking absurd to just have like three shows, $75, for the other one, $125, a little corporate gig, $900, and then Bell Center, July 25th, $115,000.
Like when we started the Bordel, I didn't want to get paid like when I do spots, but then we decided, look, everyone gets paid the same price, whether you're, you know, Louis José or whether. So I get so like. The week that I did the Bell Center, I did one show for 170,000, and I did one show for 125.
That's what I find fucking insane.
It's amazing, so, though. It's amazing.
I'm curious because you're the only person. Let's say you and Rashid has been he's been on multiple of my shows, small shows in front of 30 people, 400. He never asks for money, and you've also, I think, came on a show that we produced. And whenever it comes to money, it's always like, of course,
fine, I always give it back to the opening.
You give it
acts.
Back,
yeah.
Is there some shows that you come expecting to at least have someone tell you like, hey, here's the check, and then you have the courtesy of saying no?
No, no, no.
Or you just show up knowing that you're not going to
accept
it? The
thing I love the most, though, is whenever, like, and it wasn't bad. The last English show we did was cool, but the thing I fucking love, when I'll do an English show and I'll get someone that'll be like, hide money in his hand.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Do the, you know, the move like this, but just like I'm the door guy. And then I'll have like... Is this $5? Like, why are you hiding $5?
Yeah, it's not $1,000.
By the way, $5 in English show in Montreal is the profits of the night. Yeah, but if you're able to make $5 in an English, so that's fucking hilarious. Because I always feel awkward. I'm like, sure, how would I approach it? Because let's say you would be booking a normal, let's say a headliner of. Let's say I book Pantelis. I don't know Pantelis. I'm like, okay, he's been working in French for 2-3 years. He's able to pull that many tickets. I assume, let's say, a 15-minute set, 20-minute set, which $4,000. I would consider. Let's say X amount, couple $100. And you're like, okay, it's in Montreal. But whenever I book a bigger name, I always feel weird being like, hey, that's that's 50.
But like, I used to always see it, and I still see it that way. Let's say you're doing a bar show, and the show generated... Let's say 1,000, and the cut for the comics, let's say, is 800, and or even like a smaller number. Let's say the cut is 400, and there are four comics. So if you give everyone $100, I always think $100 won't change anything for me. But if we split my 100 and everyone gets 30 extra, 30 extra for the other three guys might be, oh, fuck, I can eat a little better this week. Yeah. I'm not going to be stressed because I had a thing this week. I was buying a lamp, and not even a lamp, a fucking lampshade. And I used my credit card and it didn't work. And I make good money. So I should just be like, it's your machine. But I was like, fuck, I don't have credit. They figured me out. I'm poor again.
We got him, boys.
And then the lady, like, it was this young girl and the owner. And then the owner was like, oh, whenever my cards refuse, I always think someone stole my identity. And I'm like, I was poor for too long. So I'm always like, okay.
I'm poor again.
Yeah. I don't need this lampshade.
They're like, hey, fuckface, enough with the fucking Jets.
Go back
to the bus, you fat fuck.
You think you're a tough guy with the bell center? Go back to the fucking slums.
I saw that today because I was looking at my phone. I saw the picture of us on the jet, and I had forgotten that we took a private jet. And I was like, what a fucking year.
Was this absurd? Bro.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was
like booking a private jet for you. Like, I know you make money, but it's still...
It's insane.
I felt like I was going to cry when he was doing it.
You know what was insane about booking the private jet? Was the deposit I had to leave on my fucking credit card. Because the guy was like, yeah, we just need a 27... And this is U.S. We just need a $27,000 deposit. And I was like,
a deposit is usually around 20% of the cost of something.
But this was the deposit is a full price.
Okay, so they just freeze the amount until you guys fly.
But I was like, I've never bought something for $27,000. I don't even know if I'm allowed. Credit card. So I knew I had a Black Amex.
So you run Black Amex?
Yeah.
That's unlimited or that's
so Black Amex? They say it's unlimited, but it's not because I tried to buy something once. That was like way less than that. And that, like, let's say.
Way less than unlimited?
Because it was like, it's not even unlimited. It's just, you don't have a limit. And you're like, okay, what do you mean? So can I buy, like,
a house?
Dubai? Like, if it's unlimited, technically I could buy Dubai. Like, I own Dubai now. But for now, and then in a month, I'll get a guy going, give me Dubai back. But yeah, so
the prince wants his Dubai back.
It's just you don't know what it is. So the first thing I tried to buy, I forget what it was, but it was like 7-8 G's, and I got refused, and I was like, I thought this was unlimited. And then you go on the Amex website and you put your number, and they have a thing, spending power, and then you write an amount. So you go, can I get 50,000? And then they say no. And then you go down 20,000, no, 15,000, yes. So you're like, okay, so I can, so my thing varies. And
that's
fucking
odd, because I mean, 7 G's is not a big amount for a credit card.
It's a basic
credit card.
And all of my credit cards are garbage except my Amex.
Yeah.
And since I was like, this is a fucking black, so I'm
just
good.
Fucking stuck.
Yeah. And it worked.
If I had a black Amex, I would have it tattooed on my fucking forehead.
It worked.
And the Amex is fucking,
it's a metal card.
It's metal.
It's heavy?
Yeah, like don't choke.
Hold on, I'm cutting away.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's a weird.
What the fuck? I have a bit of a hard on right now. That's a fucking heavy one.
And now, like, I don't know what the limit is, but I know it's more than 27 U.S. But I was fucking insane. I was so scared.
Yeah, of course you're just like, hey, yeah, what's the number? 2202. Yeah. Like, what's that?
Because and plus, if it doesn't work, like, if it's a small amount, you try to buy like a fucking. Groceries, and they're like, oh, this card doesn't work. You're like, okay, oh, fuck, I got 200. So we'll get rid of the pretzels.
Exactly.
But now I can't go, okay, look. Here's
we don't need both of these engines.
Yeah.
Wait, so you're just, let's say you guys are in the situation where you need a private jet to be able to make it to your show.
Look, no one's ever in a situation where they need a private jet.
I needed it. But the reason why I felt like I needed it is because I'm a man.
I provide for my family. This is what a man should do.
It's because I was... We were in Atlanta to see a fight, and the fight was Friday night, and then we had two shows Saturday in Brassard.
Yep.
And the first show was at 4 PM, so I knew that we were like on Instagram Friday night drinking champagne in a fucking limo, living our best life, And then when they canceled the fucking Air Canada flight, I was like, even though it's not my fault, it's Air Canada, and I can't get tickets anywhere else.
There's like thousands of people that bought the tickets. They're going to be like, you fucking assholes, we're partying.
There are 2,000 people that bought tickets, and I'll be like, look, it's out of my control. I'm a victim. I'm a victim. And then they see pictures of me.
There was a Veuve Clicquot attack yesterday. And this is.
So I was like, okay. And then plus I was thinking, who's going to fucking call these people? Like, we got to call 2,000 people to say, hey, don't show up. And it was a show, two shows that had been canceled because of COVID like
months, three, like
seven
a year.
Months
yeah.
before. So I was like, okay, it's fuck. Even if it's 50,000, it's stupid spending that much. But just to not look like a dick. I didn't want my fans to be, what a dick.
Yeah. That's fucking... Yeah. So did you cover the price of the flight with the two shows or not even?
No, not even.
He spends way more than he makes.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's financially retarded.
No, he's living his best life. He makes it, but
which
he's
being
not
financially
stingy.
Retarded.
When I bought those houses for the homeless people, when I finished paying them, I had $6,000 left. Yeah. Which is insane.
Wait, did you have any investments? Did you have?
I have houses, and now I had 25 houses with homeless people.
So you're a slumlord.
No, a real one.
The only investments I own houses, but
so real estate, no stock market,
real estate,
nothing that you can pull out quick.
I have stocks, but not like. They're all like in RRSPs.
Okay, so you can't pull them out.
So I can't pull anything out. So, but at 7,000, I was like, 7,000, I'm good for at least a month and a half. Plus, I got my credit cards. So
I love how you can sell the Bell Center and not even 8 months prior to that. You're like, you know what? If we cut back on food, my wife and I, maybe we can make it.
Did you ever see the video with, it's an episode of Louis from... where Louis C.K. is trying to buy a house.
No, I've
and he's it. With his accountant. He's like, look, I've had a good month. And when I saw it, I was like, that's exactly me. He's like, I've had a good month making money and I'm doing this show. Bought a house. It's a bit. He goes, how much? It's a bit. It's 18 million. And he goes, okay, 18 million. All right. Okay. And so, and then he calculates. He goes, that your mortgage is going to be $80,000 a month. And he goes, I know it's worth more than that, and it's nice. And he goes, how much do you have in your checking account? And he goes, I have eight. So he had 8,000. So he was like, okay, yeah. So this month, all you need is 72,000 more to cover 1 month's rent.
That's fucking. And that's I know that's how you see life. But you don't even see it on your personal expense. I see Pentelis how he acts around us. First of all, it's like. I need to work harder to be able to make sure that Emil and Poseidon don't need a day job or
whatever. Goddamn right.
So you really see, is this how you still see life? It's like, I need this much to be able to make it through next month.
I had a friend tell me once, and I've always lived my, and you can't live your way like that for everything. But he was like, if life costs you $80,000 a month, you're going to find a way to make $80,000 a month. Mm. And I've never lived a life that I needed $80,000 a month, but... If I know that I need 80,000,
he'll find a way.
I'll find a way to make it.
There'll be a couple of extra podcasts a week.
Yeah, no, but I've always been like I've been so lucky. I know how to make money. Like I'm good at making money. I'm horrible at keeping money.
Yeah, very bad.
Like I'm gonna
creating money though.
I can create wealth, but I have no idea. Like I'm
from where and how.
Yeah, yeah. It's just I'm a second string NBA player. Like money's coming in, but I don't know where it's going.
Never thought about buying like a franchise, like a Tim Hortons or like putting, it's really real estate. And that's the only method of savings.
No, but the only reason why I bought real estate is because I used to be the type of person as soon as I had money in my bank account. At first it was, as soon as I had 10,000 in my bank account, I was like, I gotta buy something. fucking a used Mercedes is only.
Yeah, what's your biggest stunt? I know you rock a Rolex, if I'm not wrong.
I got this as a present, though.
As a present?
Yeah.
Ah, it wasn't even a purchase.
It was a gift from my Rolex dealer because I bought
it. I know this Jewish guy down the street.
No, it was Michelle bought me this. A bunch
so
of
your manager is balling too.
Yeah, but it was because at first it was my wife's idea. She was like, Mike's always like Rolexes, but I'd never had one. So when I was 40, they were like, we'll ask all his friends to pitch in to give $100 and we'll buy the watch. And only like three people pitched in. So Michelle was like, I got to buy a fucking watch.
So he bought $8,000 watch right now. This is fucking... Okay. Damn, that's your biggest splurge?
Biggest splurge is, I guess, just houses.
Okay, houses. But a house is an investment. Stupid. Like, let's say a watch, a car...
He paid him $3,000 to shit his pants.
Yeah,
yeah, that was true.
Well, yeah, no, I've never. The only big
that's a business expense, though.
That is true. Yeah.
The only they're just houses. Yeah,
so just houses. Okay.
Yeah, just houses.
Okay.
I bought Bitcoin, which was fucking stupid.
For now.
Yeah. It'll eventually.
Are
come
you still
back.
Into crypto?
No, I was never into crypto. I bought $200 worth of crypto. I bought uranium.
This is some fucking Eastern European fucking type of bullshit right here. Everybody's talking about crypto. It's just my thoughts looking at uranium. Just like fucking uranium is going to blow up.
He's a cartoon villain.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm calling the Libyans. Ahmed, what's the word, bro? Fuck, I was thinking about what you said about people crawling out of shows, like the goblins, how you can't control your fans and stuff.
Yeah.
When we were on the tour, I noticed that, like, with Mike, depending on where we are, the demographic is so different, so vast. If you would ask even you to guess who would come out, I don't think you'd be correct.
It's so varied.
It's so fucking varied. Yeah.
I have that's the thing I really like. Like, I have a lot of gay people.
Yeah. Me too. I remember the shows when it was a gay couple, it was old people, it was Native American gambling.
Yeah.
I'm a gay icon. I'm a black icon. I'm an icon of all these communities.
I'm always happy whenever I see...
I don't know. They all listen to
me. I see gay guys in the... And this is new. I never used to do this, and it's only been new 5 years. But I used to... Like, if I talked to two dudes, I was always like, you guys friends? And now I ask them if they're a couple.
Yeah.
That I never used to do.
Yeah,
I'd be like, is this your brother? No. Is he your friend? No. Hey, you're sitting together. So you must be your brother, your friend. And then if they're like, we're a gay couple, I'd be like, oh, this is fucking awkward.
You want to be a gay triple?
Have you tried to be a bit more inclusive in your material in the sense that it's not even inclusive to how could you say it, to amend anything? It's just sometimes I talk to people, let's say I'm doing crowd work or I'm talking about relationships or whatever, just to make everybody feel a part of it. Even if the joke that I'm about to say is offensive or not, I don't have a tendency of saying people that have a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever it is, even if I'm doing crowd work, I assume that there's a possibility that they might be a couple. It's like I feel like it's
so you say like partner.
No, I can't do that. Whenever I say partner, like I always feel like I have trouble saying partner or lover.
No,
lover,
even
lover, but that's what I said. Lover bothers me.
No, not even a partner.
My
literally
lover
awesome.
Feels like my fingers will smell like ass.
Yeah. And someone told me that. I told you who it was. Yeah. She recently told me, she's like, I can't come in because I'm with my lover. I was like, ooh.
No, like, I won't ask them, is this your partner? I'll tell them, is this your boyfriend? But in the sense of 6 years ago, I would just assume everybody was heterosexual. There's no inclusion.
I've been lucky for that because, like, in the 90s, I had a bit about watching gay porn.
Yeah.
Which was very, not 90s, early 2000s.
Very risque. Yeah.
Very, like, for real, I'd start the bit and I'd have dudes going, this fucking fag. this fucking guy, he pretends he's talking about his wife and fucking chicks, but he fucking
he lured me into this gay joke.
Happy he is. But then, so yeah, I've always been lucky for that
because I've just started to,
always not always
but it's I'm saying inclusive. It's not again to be able to be like a more of a snowflake environment in my material. It's literally to make people feel more a part of the joke because some people don't.
I added more gay jokes recently for inclusion.
The thing that kind of fucked me is since people saw me as vulgar, like black people used to think since I'm dirty, they were like, he's dirty and he's probably racist or Arab.
Yeah, that's fucking stupid.
And then
that's a Justin Trudeau type of
What really helped me was Rashid. I used to, whenever I did my shows, I never had any Arabs in the room at all. And then I did a gala.
Safer show.
That Rashid was hosting. And then that fucking for that opened the doors of like I don't have a lot of Arab people, but I have like enough that
yeah,
you know, it's not like if there's an Arab dude that comes to see me, it's not like what is he doing?
Like, yeah, it's not the Lebanese moms that are there. Like, oh my, it's just not. And even you remember Alex Louvin?
Yeah.
He's a dirty comic. Well, dirty comic. He's a rock and roll. I would say a rock and roll comic. Like a, you did you ever meet Alex Louvin?
We met once. Yeah.
Okay. Whatever happened, happened. Yeah. Anyways, this guy had very harsh
probably
material.
Nothing happened because he's a dude.
Anyways, this guy used to have a bunch of Arabs show up to the shows, which is, I feel like the shows, we opened for you once in Saint-Jean, and we had you on a show. I had you on two shows, and a lot of Arabs were like, oh, fuck, you were able to get Mike Ward. I still feel you're like you're able to, there's still a pulse.
You
from,
can penetrate from, certain
from,
markets.
From, you, can pen, you can definitely a, penetrate them.
There's a documentary about black comedy.
Oh yeah,
in Quebec and French Canada, and they mentioned me twice in the documentary.
Two different comics,
and I was like, "This is a, I'm a fucking black icon.
Yeah.
I'm an ethnic comic. Yeah. This is what
but
I am."
Yeah, but I've never. I don't like my crowd isn't ethnic, but compared to most white guys my age, it's very
100%. That's what I'm saying.
It's
like,
very ethnic, but ethnic in a like in most Quebec towns.
There's no Moroccan 90, music at the entrance. 90,
yeah, it's not like we're yeah. No one's fucking eating couscous. Yeah, you know, all right,
can't wait with their kids. It's, yeah. It's not a family outing.
Yeah,
I
look white. I'm Greek. I only want black people at my shows.
100%.
I'm very.
Yeah, black he always does the same joke that, but the fucking it makes me laugh. He's always pointing to preach and going us fucking black guys. us black guys.
If you look at Pantelis, you can either decide he's the most racist people. When you look at someone, when we say the line, you're still on the line. It's like you're either the most open-minded or the most closed-minded person I've ever seen in my life.
You don't know me. Yeah,
there's no in-between.
No, but you have to know me. If you don't know me, you could go either way. You won't know.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's what fucking helps him. Because he's on the other side of the line, but it looks like they're like, he can't be racist.
That's
how
so
do you guys
true.
Think I've been getting all my way, motherfucker?
Because he's legitimately, he is a well-known racist, but people he's don't know it because they see him with me like, oh, bro, no, he just makes edgy jokes because he's so open-minded like Pantelis.
He's so open-minded. I saw someone, though, at his
God
show.
Damn, you guys.
There was two girls, I would assume around 25, 27 years old when we were in Gatineau. I think there was one French girl, which I assume she's
show?
A she's a student from Université de Ottawa or whatever. And there was someone else with them, I think Arabs. And at the beginning of the show, every joke that Pantelis would go into, they'd be like, and then he kept first 10 minutes is like almost here, and then they're like they start laughing slowly, and then 20 minutes in they start fucking cracking up, and then at some point you just go like, if you're easily offended, this is not
a
show for
you. That's
like,
what he said.
Ah, okay, this is why we're offended. Okay, we're gonna start having fun from now on.
Yeah, but I just like kept leaning into it.
Yeah,
kept leaning into it, and I loved seeing these people. And every time I knew which jokes were coming up, and I'm like, they're not gonna like this one, and then they would laugh, and I'm like, okay, fuck, you got them.
Yeah, sometimes I win people over because our type of humor, you think some people, if they're close,
you gotta go all in.
Yeah, you're never gonna win them, but because I assume who I am, I know that these are, I'm just fucking around. The whole point is this is my humor, this is how
but
I laugh.
But to be honest, it's easier for you to win people with your French accent than with your English accent.
Why is that? Explain this.
Because the accent makes it seem a bit more vulnerable.
It's and like, I think English Canada is way, 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 way more woke.
I feel that.
100%.
Than
French
that.
Quebec.
100%, but the accent will make you feel sort of cuter in a sense. It's like
goofy.
You're less aggressive for a woman watching this when you're going with, say, fucking, if you have a rape joke, it's easier slid.
Those weren't jokes.
See, in English, it's creepy. My asshole sort of clenched right now. But like, if it was in French, it's like,
c'est
okay.
pas des jokes, hein?
Exactly. See, it's the high tone. It's like the higher, it's like, c'est un petit peu plus aigu. It's like when you hear, c'est pas des jokes, it's like, it's cuter. You know, you can say anything you want.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they have a better sense of humor, the French.
I think, though, that like that's changed. I remember, like, 10 years ago, in English, you could do anything. Like, you could go on stage. Like, before 2010, 2012, you could do anything on stage. Like, you'd go see the old Nasty shows, and they went fucking hard. They went balls deep. And in French, people took everything kind of seriously and literally. And then the English side became, like, super, super sensitive. And the French side kind of stayed the same. So they get offended easily, but not as easily as the Canadian side.
Do they get offended easily?
Well, some crowds, it depends. Seriously? Like tonight I had that a bit with them, and so did he when we went down to do sets. But it wasn't, they weren't offended, like, I'm going to leave a bad review. They were just like, I can't believe he's going there.
It's
like,
it's not, they, and I think now they don't get offended as easily because people are smarter about the comedy they consume.
Yeah.
Like in the old days, people would come see a show and they were like, I like comedy. And then they'd be like, what this is? But that's like
what
saying,
is this? My eyes.
That's, yeah. Like saying, that's like saying, I like music. But what you like is fucking Slayer and Metallica.
You're not
and
gonna
I,
like,
I bring you to see fucking...
R. Kelly.
Yeah, and you'll be like, why is this pedophile? Why is he fingering my daughter?
She's 14! You monster.
No, but yeah.
I've never understood that, though, with comedy. And this is why I respect
I like
people.
Comedy. This
is why I respect people that buy tickets to comedy. Like, I do des shows de rodage where you go test out material, like lab nights. And you're like, this place is fucking jam-packed. There's like 80 people, 100 people that came. And they have no idea who is going to perform. Yeah. And on top of that, chances are nobody famous is coming. Mm. And these people got in a babysitter, fucking worked this whole... It's a Tuesday night and these shows are jam-packed. And you're like, fuck props. I would never do this. Mm. I would never... I would stay home, watch a movie with my wife, and then just fucking...
They love stand-up, yeah.
The way I used to always see, though, people that go, I love comedy, like I love all comedy, you can't judge what they think is funny. It's like asking a fat guy if the dessert is good.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a fat guy, it's everything's delicious. Why is it?
Why are y'all looking at me like that?
We wanted you to give a reply.
Like you ask someone
on behalf of fat guys.
Like you ask someone like him that was big and now is little. Is this like if you see him eating a dessert, you'll be like, that's got to be fucking tasty. That he's fucking. He hasn't
he's sacrificing
eaten a carb
his looks.
Seven
yeah.
years.
Yeah,
he's gonna. That's gonna hurt his fucking.
But him eating a pumpkin pie.
Doesn't mean like
yeah.
Pie. It's meaningless. You're but like, that's what we get a lot of these nights. Like, let's say tonight, they didn't know what they were getting. You don't know who's going to be in the lineup. So that's why you get some people that are like, oh, that's offensive. What I still don't I like, and we're going to touch on it more with another project that we have, I don't like the fact that people are so stupid. They're really dumb. They call themselves lovers of art, lovers of comedy. They go out, and they judge it differently than they judge any other art form. Mm. Because if he's on stage or I'm on stage, I'll make fun of a priest. I'll make fun of a pedophile. I'll make fun of myself. I'll make fun of him, black, white. I'll make fun of everybody, right? Let's say I make fun of pedophiles. That's for some people. Like, he mentioned pedophiles, even though he made fun of him. That's offensive. But if Kevin Bacon plays the role of one and pretends to bang a kid, that's cool because it's in a movie.
Yeah.
So his art form makes sense to them, but ours, which is mind-boggling. Yeah. You have to be so stupid.
Yeah.
That's like saying, oh no, the song about dropping the N-word and murdering people. That's fine, bro. But if you say a joke about fucking murdering people, that's too much. That's
that's true. The art form, also the way that we deliver this art form, understandably speaking, see, like you can be in a crowd and be like, oh yeah, maybe this is Mike Ward's true thoughts, but go fuck yourself.
That's why. That's why too. I think French crowds are so good now, is compared to like, and when we talk about English crowds, when I speak badly about English crowds, I'm talking about English Canadian. Because American crowds, you go to New York, they're good crowds.
Oh, governors, we got away with everything.
Yeah, but English Canada, you see Toronto comics are like, we got to fight to be recognized as an art form. But in French Quebec, everyone knows that this is an art form.
Yeah.
It's not as respected as other art forms, but at least they go, okay, that is art. It's just, it's not
as an art
important
form, but as a business, comics are pretty much the only art form that is able to capitalize and make that much money.
In French. You don't think that sculptors are making $170,000 a day? What?
Well, with government grants, maybe some of them are, but it's
but in English Canada, that's a great point. In French Canada, there's an award show every year just for stand-up. There's a podcast award. Yeah. Just for, it's so big, right? Stand-up. In English Canada, they got a union together to try to go to Parliament and be like, this is a real art form. Yeah. They had to prove that they're a real art form. When Canada has produced some of the best stand-ups, Norm MacDonald, Jim Kay, it's so crazy.
What's the problem?
I don't know. I culturally, they're different.
I think the problem is the comedy fans. The English-Canadian comedy fans, the reason why they're shitty fans is they fucking love Norm MacDonald, or they love Norm MacDonald. They Jim Carrey. They love anyone that makes it outside of Canada.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, he's Canadian. He's one of us. But you didn't support him when he was fucking living in Quebec, in Toronto. Whereas in Quebec, we fucking support. And the Quebec, the thing that sucks about Quebec, in English Canada, you only become important if you make it somewhere else. In Quebec, you become a piece of garbage
if you make it somewhere else. That's true.
You're like, you fucking sell out. You fucking asshole.
Hollywood,
why did you leave? You
That's fucking true. Like, what, Quebec?
We hate everyone that has success outside of Quebec.
Which is the other way with rap. Yeah. You have people in Montreal that are very good lyricists, very good musicians, rappers, and they don't even bat an eye when it comes to them. But the second your music is played in France, let's say on your French side, or outside of Montreal or outside of Quebec on the English side, that's when they support you. But fucking comedy in Quebec, they don't want you to leave. The second you leave, you become a fucking traitor.
But they support.
That's
like,
crazy. That's a good thing, though.
I'm a very good example because I was, as soon as I started doing it in French because of Mike, they showed me like retarded support. And they were like, oh, fuck, he's our guy. He's from here. Yeah, he has an accent, whatever, he's from here, he's doing with Mike, he's doing this. So they came all like behind me, even though right before that in English, it was a struggle to try to get people to support, and you know what I mean? It was
English.
I have the hardcores from day one, obviously, but it's not everyone. But it's a different culture. In French, they're like, he's from here.
Yeah.
Bro, this
and
is our guy.
There are some
haters.
Good,
be haters.
Good English Canadian crowds, but they're not as supportive generally.
Yeah.
Have you toured Canada?
Not really.
No, is it in the plans or do you don't?
No, because really I'd rather just play the States.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, but because whenever I go, I'm like, oh yeah, this is like Quebec, but not as fun.
It's pretty. So I've seen you perform in Ottawa. I went to the Yucks once. You were headlining there.
I consider Ottawa Quebec.
I feel like Ottawa is. It's 2 hours away. Thing. It's fucking
Toronto is Norway for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is there any Ontario comics like there are Quebec comics? Like Ontario comics.
What's
ballers,
his name? The
Mike Ward
fat
level.
Guy. The fat guy. That,
Angelo Taruchos?
No. He's a Montreal guy. The K. Trevor Wilson.
Oh, K. Trevor is big.
He's big.
But he's big in the States too.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah, but he's not he can sell out rooms, but he can't sell out, I don't think, theaters.
But I'm saying, is there someone in Ontario, a comic that is making a very good living only in Ontario, selling out theaters in Ontario?
You know where they have that though? The Maritimes.
Oh, okay,
the Maritimes have like fucking guys that are
stars for the Maritimes.
Yeah, just huge stars.
Oh yeah, like James Mullinger.
Yeah, James Mullinger is fucking massive in New Brunswick. He's selling out New Brunswick, New Brunswick arenas.
That's a good culture.
There's another guy, I forget his name, that he's a piece of garbage, but he sells out every fucking province in the Maritimes. I forget his name, but I have a story to I should know his name before. Ron Wood. Okay. Is that his name? Ron Wood.
Ron Wood.
There was a Google. He's a little piece of garbage. He looks like a leprechaun.
But I hope it's the wrong guy that he's talking about.
Yeah. Because I remember.
Oh my God.
I remember someone. No. Ron Wood. Ron Wood is a guy from the Rolling Stones.
No.
That's maybe. And it's not Ron White. That's a.
It's not Rory Wood.
No, I like Ron.
Anyways.
This Ron guy from fucking the Maritimes. There was this couple that they loved comedy, and they're from Prince Edward Island, and they were like, we don't have a festival in the Maritimes. This was before Hubcap and all that, and Halifax. They were like, let's do a festival in the Maritimes, Prince Edward Island. So they booked every Canadian comedian that they loved. So they booked like 20 or 30 comics out of, and this was a dude that drove trucks and the chick taught in a school. So they took their fucking life savings to book a bunch of fucking unknown Canadian comics. So we all go there, and then they're trying to sell tickets. And it's going okay. And this fucking Ron whatever guy, he's famous there. He decided to tour every city that had shows for the festival on the same night.
Piece of garbage.
Yeah, so then people would be like, should I go see...
people I don't know?
At the time, Derek Sege, no one knew. Or should I go see Mike Ward that I have no clue who Mike Ward is? Or that fucking Ron guy that I saw on Just for Laughs. I'll go see him. So I was like, what a piece of shit.
What a fucking piece of garbage.
What a piece of garbage. And Ron... Google Ron...
Hansen?
Ron... No, Ron... Mm. Right, Ron comedian...
Maritimes.
Maritimes.
I wrote New Brunswick. Hold on. Maritimes. Yeah. How do you write Maritimes? M-A-R-I...
Oh, I found it.
Maritimes Roman. Times New Roman. Maritimes New Roman.
Ron James.
Ron James. That's him. Can you
let me see?
You put him up?
Yeah, hold up.
He's a piece of shit.
Yeah, from what you just said.
Did you meet him?
I never met him.
This guy.
What a piece.
Oh, I know that face.
He looks like a leprechaun.
Yeah, this guy. Oh, he did. He's the one who pulled that.
Yeah, yeah. And he is fucking huge. Like, he, like when they told me that, I was like, who cares? He's some fucking shitty, like, CBC comic.
Yeah, he's a CBC comic, yeah.
But he's a, like, yeah, what a piece of garbage.
Oh, this old dude. Okay.
That must be crazy to be ginormous in a such a small province, though.
Yeah,
he is leprechaun. Well,
he's if you're able to make corporate gigs, I assume this is the problem with the Montreal scene, though, is that especially in English, there is.
Well, now we start the night here, and they're going to be getting paid in English.
Exactly.
And
the first
like older, the like Bowser and Blue used to be kind of big in English Quebec.
Okay,
Bowser and Blue were these two political satirists that did songs.
With the banjo. And
Yeah. I opened for them. I never bombed so hard in my fucking life.
Opening for Bowser and Blue?
Bowser and Blue in Quebec City in 1993 or 4. I didn't even do comedy in French yet. So it was 93. I was opening for them and Lorne Elliott. And I fucking bombed so hard in front of my dad. It was a big crowd. And
you've mentioned the story. I think you just said, yeah.
They had booked me. And since it was Quebec City, I was like, I'm from Quebec City. They're going to be like so proud of the local boy that made it because I'd made it because I'd been to the works six times. And then I ate a fucking huge bag of dicks and it sucked. And I went back.
It's an older crowd. No, it's like
they were super old. And I was like, they're fucking horrible. And then Lorne Elliott got a standing ovation. Then I came back and they were fucking yelling. And some older guys asked my dad to help them go on stage to force me on stage.
That's
since
fucking
my dad was 60 fucking eight, and he was the second youngest dude in the room after me.
That's fucking hilarious.
Like, hey, young man, can you get that asshole off
get
stage?
Get rid of that fucking.
So Bowser and Blue are like comedy legends and. English Quebec?
Yeah, in like West Island, their son one time, it was fucking crazy. Their son one time came up to me because he at the Comedy Works, and he was like, yeah, my dad and his whatever, like Bowser and Blue, I don't know what their names are. He goes, yeah, they were supposed to do a corporate gig, and they can't do it. And then we tried to book Sugar Sammy. He can't do it. Would you do it? And I was like, it's not the same crowd. And I don't know what the budget is because I was like fucking like West Island Comics. He was like, no, it's the budget is $28,000. I was like, what? Bowser and Blue is making $28,000 doing a corporate gig in the West Island? But there's a weird like West Island star system that they have like insane money.
Niche. Star set. But I assume it's corporate gigs.
If you're making $28,000
that's 14 G's each.
If you do two shows a year, you're good.
You're good.
Yeah. Yeah. If you got a little house in Dorval that fucking
paid off
you bought
the
and
60s.
you're old man, yeah, you paid $7,000 for in 1961 and someone's giving you $14,000 to do songs about the fucking about La CAQ.
Some hillbillies, yeah.
Where do you see yourself retiring? Are you ever, or are you gonna be Don Rickles balls out fucking?
I'm gonna be like Winters in Florida.
Okay.
Yeah, Winters in Florida, and I'm never gonna retire for real.
Okay.
But I'll be like I'm not gonna do cold weather in the winter all my life.
So are you working on another French hour or it's?
I don't even know what I'm doing.
Okay.
Yeah, my tour's done now, and I just want to be in Florida.
That's fucking.
Yeah.
I guess you're at that point where you can, first of all, you can afford to be just like, fuck it.
Well, you worked hard, yeah.
Are you semi-retired? Would you be good? Let's say you stop tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, I could stop tomorrow.
You could stop tomorrow. At what age do you think you're going to be able to stop?
Me?
Yeah.
I got to start making money.
Let's start before we stop.
Well, I want to retire in 10 years so I could just hang out with him without him at the beach.
Just kick in another condo in Orlando.
Yeah.
So are you a snowbird or not yet?
No, I've never done it yet, but this winter, that's my plan. Like next week, I'm driving down my car to Florida to leave it there for the winter. So then when I fly back here, I bring it to the airport, so I'm like, oh, God, I gotta go back. I'm fucking.
I need to park my
spending
car.
Spending fucking $47 a day for fucking
it's
parking.
It's gonna cost you $7,000 in parking. Yeah.
No, but I found a parking at the airport that it's only $10 a day.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the plan is doing like 6 months in Florida, 6 months in Montreal.
No, no, it's like 2 weeks Florida, 3 days here. 2 weeks yeah. Florida, 3 days here.
So you're not even
comes back, records podcast, yeah. and then goes.
That's yeah. fucking insane, dude.
Yeah, I'm gonna. Yeah. People are gonna hate me because they're gonna be like, look at this fucking asshole. He's vegan. He drives polluted. An electric car, and he's always in a jet.
Every fucking 14 days in a jet.
Yeah.
Do you have like an ecosystem there? Like, do you have friends, family in Florida, or you just go fucking
nothing.
Balls?
Nothing,
just
nothing.
By yourself.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
The,
I've that's fucking yeah. amazing though. Yeah, Netflix.
Netflix, the hot weather and
the thing I really like about Florida, and this is a very old man thing. I go to this a resort near my resort that has a lazy river. I don't know if you know what that is.
Yeah, I do know.
That oh, it's shit. Like a little, and I stole four of their. Their towels to make it look like I'm one of the residents. So I'll go in with my stolen towel, and then I go in their lazy river, and I fucking float around.
Just float around for the whole day.
Float around go back for the home. Whole day, and then I go back home.
So that's a day to day. Your life in Florida?
No, right now since I hadn't been in 2 years, and I only went like twice.
Okay.
So I've just been like renovating because the place fucking fell apart.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, the last couple of years.
I don't have a Florida type of guy. Why did you end up in Florida? It's just it was
because hot weather's close.
I went there once and I was like, Florida's the worst. Because if you've never been to Florida, Florida sounds like the worst place in the world. It sounds like Boulevard Tachereau.
Well, I'm like going to Florida in November. Okay. My wife is crazy about Disney World and Disney okay. Disneyland and that
well,
stuff.
Well, what day do you go?
We're going November 15th to the 18th.
Fuck.
Are you 15th there?
15th to the 18th? I'm not there. Did you book your hotel yet?
Yeah, we booked it.
Ah, fuck. I would have given you my condo.
Ah, fuck.
And it's Orlando. It's right by the Disney
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I'm in Orlando. I'm like 10 You're minutes. I'm 10 minutes away from Disney World.
It's all good. I booked them on points. I don't know if I can cancel and fucking. I've been working these credit card points for fucking 5 years now just to be able to tell my wife I'm bringing you to Disney.
I got that. I've never been to any of the Disney.
I feel like Disney people that are obsessed with Disney World have deep, deep, deep mental issues.
And so you married
and
them.
And I married one. And I'm like, you know what? I really think in the sense of like, let me try it first. And then I'll figure out if I'm judgmental about it or not.
Well, if She's you have kids, it seems me. Like it would be fun.
Yeah, yeah I come back on the 11th. If you want to use my car, though, it's at the airport.
It's at the airport.
You can, though. Seriously? That, your wife would freak out.
She would freak out. I won't tell her anything.
I'll give you the key.
I like this. I like this, bro.
Okay, that's fucking amazing. Okay,
and then she's like, what are you doing? Like, don't ask questions.
I'll just walk into a Tesla. I drive a fucking beat down Honda Civic
it's
here.
It's not a Tesla, but it's a BMW convertible.
I'm sorry. I only drive Tesla. This is not
a Tesla
car. It would be fucking hilarious. Just don't worry about it.
You look like Florida, by the way.
Me?
Yeah.
You
With
look
that
like
shirt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, you're Florida.
The glasses,
like I picture
glasses?
You.
You look like a retired mobster.
Yeah, exactly. In Florida, chest out, chains.
Just, I do have a bit of chest hair.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, the chains, maybe like a button.
With a silk Hawaiian like dress shirt and a fucking flamingo
I
pink.
I just got
living vicariously
to,
through you.
Yeah. I might start cocaine when I get to Florida.
God,
yeah, damn. You look exactly like what he thinks he looks like. Oh! You're like, he saw you with that shirt and he was like, that'll look good on me.
Yeah.
Emil,
how attached are you to that shirt?
You wear medium?
I got two questions for you. Do you know a place where they'd sell me three of those? And do you know anyone that's good at sewing?
I have a couple immigrants in my basement.
Oh, he knows, he knows. He got a custom fur coat done. Oh,
actually, yeah. You guys are in the fucking textile district. Someone
yeah, that's what studios at the other one.
Sew
yeah.
him some curtains and be able to wear them.
I know a lady. She can make you like a $5,000 coat yeah. for like $1,000.
All you need is to get the $1,000.
Yeah. No, not even.
What?
That's cool.
I can hook it up heavy.
She can make you a $5,000 coat, and can you sell that coat for $5,000?
To her?
Because you could just
no,
go
can,
on Marketplace then and
no,
go $5,000 coat, $2,000.
So, like, I, you know my leather jacket that I have?
Yeah.
With a blue fur collar? That was from the Weeknd's music video.
what was it called? Starboy. And I really liked the jacket. I'm like, I want a jacket like that.
Yeah.
And I Googled it, and it
I think you wanted the man inside the jacket.
Aye. And it was 2,500 euros.
I think you
euros.
Wanted to be inside the man.
Yeah, inside the jacket. I want to be inside the man, inside the jacket, inside. Okay, yeah. I'm going to stop. I Googled it, and it was 2,500 euros. I was like, this is absurd. I'm never going to pay this amount of money.
What did you Google?
What can I get for 2,500 euros?
The weekend jacket Starboy. I think that's what I Googled.
Okay, which is like the basic type of leather with like a Russian leather jacket.
Yeah, like a bomber jacket.
Okay.
I'll show you. I have a picture. You'll see it. And
it shows everyone.
And I was like, annoyed. And I was like, yo, I fucking like this jacket. I fucking want it.
And at the time, you were living at your mom's house,
yes.
Right? Yes. So no apartment and no apartment.
The man had his life in order. Yeah.
No, I was working a job. I was choices. Making money.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay.
But normally, like, an adult would be like, I'm taking this money and I'm moving out.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm buying a jacket, mom, stand in my room.
Yeah.
No, but I was paying rent. Anyways.
How old were you?
37.
26.
So it was like 2 years ago.
Yeah. No, hold on. I was younger.
Was last
oh my
year,
God. 25, I think. 4 years ago, 4 years ago, 4 years ago.
Perfect. So you ordered that jacket from that lady?
Yeah, I went and I'm like, I want this, and she made it.
Okay.
I don't know what the story is.
A fraction of the price.
But it's worth what you paid for it, because if you tried to sell it.
Well, no, because it's not the same name brand.
It's like going, okay, no, this no. Rolex, I know a guy, he can make me the same thing. It's fucking...
No, but it's not the same like name brand.
$10,000 watch, he fucking sells it for
But hold on.
20.
With watches, it's a different story. This is just, you know, it's leather.
But answer his question. So can you sell that
How much would you get for it if you sold it on
But the reason why I made it was I'm keeping it for life.
That's not what he's asking.
How much is it?
I don't know. I've never checked.
Okay. How much do you think?
I just need to point something out.
Yeah.
When you guys are roasting him and he's on the console, like, he still needs to do the...
finally, somebody noticed!
He needs to do the frame changes for someone
finally
to stare. Like, he's like,
noticed.
I'm getting destroyed right now, but I need to have a camera on my face. And
finally,
just,
somebody noticed.
He's fucking just like, like, yeah, they're calling me a piece of shit. And he's just like, yeah, perfect.
He's like, I'm a piece of garbage. Okay, go to me. Cut to me. That's how I'm taking it. Cut to him. He's making fun of me. Yeah, go back to him. All right. Well, look, Emil, if there are people watching this and they are bilingual, you have a very good podcast with your friend and my friend, Jacob Ospian, other comedian, called Sans Commentaire, No Comments, I guess, without comment.
Exactly.
Very good podcast. You guys have come on my show a lot. You've both done his show as well. If you're not bilingual, then you have to catch Emil with one of us. He's going to be at the English Nights here. If I'm doing English comedy, I'm always bringing him on board. So you will find Emil. Follow him online. Links are in the description. Jason, don't forget to put the links in the description. Poseidon is the Poseidon69 online. I am Poseidon is his Linktree.
If
Mike
you're
Ward.
Looking for a shitty coat and you have $7,000.
Yeah, if you have $7,000, you need a $10,000 coat. Reach out to Poseidon. If you need to start your own podcast, send an email to bookingpodcaststudio@gmail.com. Our podcast studio has another studio. It's called the Mike Ward Theater of Dreams. Poseidon will probably produce your podcast. MikeWard.ca is the website for Mike. He's got the number one French language comedy podcast on the planet called Mike Ward Sous-Écoute. Go to Patreon, patreon.com/Sous-Écoute. You get the entire back catalog. You get to watch Sous-Écoute live. And when there's tickets for his shows, they go up there first. So check that out. Come check the English shows here at the Bordel. Links are in my description. Links are on my website. Links are on the link tree, any website you want. And most importantly, go fuck yourselves.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.